You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, August 20th, 2017, by the Reverend Karen Haig, Associate Rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Christ.
Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. If one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a devil." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
"Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Phew! Were you glad to get to that part? I mean, that's the Jesus we all know and love, right? The one who has compassion on all who are wounded or sick or oppressed. The one who performs healing after healing and miracle after miracle. The one whose arms stretched wide on the cross encompass the whole wide world. I'm glad he finally got there, but you have to admit, it was a rough go. For many of us, this is a difficult story to hear. It's a story about a tenacious, persistent mother who wants God's mercy for her sick daughter and who will not quit until she gets it. But it's also a story about Jesus, the only one of its kind in Scripture. Oh, there are stories of other persistent women who wouldn't quit until they received the blessing or the mercy or the justice they desperately needed. But there are no other stories about Jesus quite like this story. Now, granted, at this time in his life, things weren't going so well for Jesus. The people in his own hometown could see nothing but their own ordinariness in him, and so they rejected his wisdom, his power, his love. He was so disheartened by their lack of faith, Matthew tells us, that he didn't work many miracles at all in Nazareth. Add to that the news he'd just received from the disciples of John the Baptizer that John had died at the hands of a very clever dancing girl and her scheming mother. Jesus had been followed by hordes of people for days on end. He'd fed 5,000 of them just days before, and no matter where he went, there was no end to the sickness, to the suffering, the needs of so very many people, all of them wanting something from him. And of course, the scribes and the Pharisees were still lurking around, trying to trip him up so they'd have grounds to get rid of him. Well, it was all just too much. And it's not so hard to understand why Jesus might have been a bit testy with that very persistent Canaanite. "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." This wasn't the first time a woman had inappropriately approached him, but at least the last one hadn't cried out. We don't know what Jesus made of this woman's cries, but his response was utter silence. Not one word, not even a glance in her direction. It's shocking, really, this utter disregard for one crying out for mercy. It's a side of Jesus we've not seen before. She calls and calls and calls to him until the disciples beg him to send her away. She is irritating them so. But he didn't send her away. Instead, he said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She's a Canaanite, so of course she doesn't live in the house of Israel. But what Jesus means is that his mercy is not for her. It's only for the Jews. They are the lost sheep of Israel. It seems that was true, at least at the time Jesus thought it was true. You see, God's people, the people who were called Israel, had waited a very long time for God's promised Messiah. And in all of their waiting, God's people lost their way. They began to forget who and whose they were. And so when Jesus finally came among them, they began to see God's promise fulfilled, the promise that it would be Israel, God's chosen people, who would bring God's redeeming love to the world. Jesus really wasn't focused on the whole wide world at this point. But couldn't he have offered just a little mercy to this persistent and heartsick woman? Apparently not. And so the Canaanite fell to her knees, begging him, "Lord, help me." We know this place of sheer desperation, don't we? We've uttered these words ourselves, "Lord, help me." Yet I'd venture that not one of us has heard the response she got. It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. This is not the Jesus we think we know. Regardless of the circumstances, the pressure, the death of his beloved John, the fact that Jesus himself had been rejected by his own people, this is a shocking response. A response that would have sent most of us running. Nevertheless, she persisted. "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table," she tells him. And in that moment, absolutely everything changed. For the Canaanite, for her daughter, and for Jesus, too. In a most unusual and extraordinary turn of events, this foreigner, this outsider, the one with the wrong color skin, the wrong sort of religion, the wrong social class, and even the wrong gender, this woman is the way God chose to invite Jesus to reimagine God's dream for the whole wide world. In that moment of recognizing the Canaanite's deep faith, Jesus suddenly knew himself to belong not just to the lost sheep of Israel, but to everyone, everywhere, no matter their skin color, no matter their class, no matter their gender, no matter their religion or their lack thereof. God's inexhaustible love and mercy are poured out for the life of the whole wide world. And I delight in the reality that this lesson came to Jesus as it comes to us from a mother who loved her child so much that she would never, ever give up on what she knew to be true. Racism, classism, sexism all rise to try to defeat her, and she is tenacious in the face of all of them. This story is so important for us today. God's world can't wait for those of us who know what's right but don't speak up. It can't wait while we say our prayers and expect God to take care of everything. Can't wait while we stop trying because things become difficult or uncomfortable or awkward. Can't wait while we throw up our hands and cry out, "It's too much. I've nothing left. I can't take on one more thing." Not when our Muslim sisters and brothers are being threatened. Not when our Jewish sisters and brothers are being targeted. Not when there are over 900 hate groups alive and well in our country, 9 of them in Washington, and 1 of them headquartered right here in Bellevue. No. Not when armed young men march through the streets asserting that God is on their side and they will do God's work of destroying anyone who doesn't look like them, or think like them, or God forbid, act like them. We can no longer walk around in the world as though God's mercy, God's justice, God's love are some sort of abstractions. They were not abstractions for that persistent Canaanite mother. They aren't abstractions for us, and they aren't abstractions for Heather Hare's mother either. Heather died in the recent Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, and her persistent and tenacious mother echoes the Canaanite mother who came 2,000 years before her. "Let's have the uncomfortable dialogue," she says. "We're going to have our differences. We are going to be angry with each other, but let's channel that anger not into hate, not into violence, not into fear. Let's channel it into righteous action." Knowing that God loves us all, every single one of us, is a beautiful place to begin. And it's only a beginning. Righteous action is our call. We need to remember that we are the way God's justice and mercy and love show up in the world. And in order for that to happen, we need to take action. We need to lift our voices against those who would say that God's love is for some and not for all. We need to take our place in assuring the dignity of everyone, everywhere. The time of watching from the sidelines is over. But what can I do? We ask ourselves. The whole wide world seems to be spinning out of control. I am just one person. What can I do? Well, my dears, we can begin by remembering the Canaanite mother and her absolute certainty that God's love and justice and mercy are for everyone. And then pick one thing, just one thing, that matters deeply to you and say your prayers, asking God how to be of use. Maybe you'll organize a prayer vigil. Maybe you'll talk to someone who doesn't look like you. Maybe you'll refuse to say that you're too busy, that you have nothing left. Maybe you'll write a letter, make a phone call, organize a neighborhood conversation. I don't know just exactly what you need to do, but if you say your prayers and listen for God, you'll know. And once you know, ask God to help you find a way to take action. Because thinking good thoughts and saying our prayers and having good intentions is no longer enough. There are so many ways, so many things we can do to bring God's love into our broken and suffering world. When you hear something hateful, say something. Spread tolerance through your conversations, social media, at home, at school, at work, in church. Hold hope and never, ever, ever give up. There is nothing more powerful than God's love working in the world through you. So find your place. Do the thing that only you can do. And remember that love is stronger than hate, stronger than injustice, stronger than fear. Remember that love changes everything. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.